There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Friday. And another hour here for you and I to hang out. Phone number and text line are the same. Mallory Piping text line 343-0106. Same numbers for a phone call, 343-0106. And you can leave us a talk back message with the FM Talk 106.5 app. All right, we'll talk about the note here today from President Trump. For cutting funding for the NPR, National Public Radio, and Public Broadcasting System that comes through Corporation for Public Broadcasting. We'll get to that because that's been talked about before. I mean, I think Trump talked about it on the campaign trail, but something official came out today, and we'll talk about that. And also the note that came out from the White House on the reasons why. I thought it was pretty interesting, so we will get to that. And also, as we talk about what goes on federally and as it affects us here at home, let's see, two of these stories have been on my mind, one for quite a while, and one just popped up yesterday. So one has been on my mind since the tariff discussion started. I think we can go back in the podcast of the show and see where I started talking about it. What could the tariffs mean for Mardi Gras? The tariffs, and because how much stuff that you catch or you throw at Mardi Gras is made in China? Well, saw this story at MyNBC 15. Darwin Singleton posted this. China tariffs could dramatically increase the cost of Mardi Gras. And he interviews Stephen Toomey, who's been on with us before. And he's talking about, you know, Toomey's Mardi Gras. He says this. He said, Stephen Toomey's quoted saying, "Well, I never carried a rabbit's foot in my pocket, but I am now. These days, I'm fairly optimistic about it. That's why we keep delaying stuff, but it can't go on like this. It's unsustainable." He said, "We're Mardi Gras being 10 months away." But Toomey, owner of Toomey's Mardi Gras store, said those who ride floats in Mobile don't wait until the last minute to buy their beads and other carnival notions. And as they plan for next year's big celebrations, they're getting sobering news that the tariffs levied by China could have them paying a lot more. So you do wonder how much is made in China. You would think it's all of it, and you would be correct. At least in this story, it says, Toomey says a firm price on the products he imports is impossible to estimate right now. He said nearly everything in Toomey's comes from China. Right now, the tariffs on Chinese imports is 145%. So this is a breakdown. He said, to give you an idea how 145% tariff would affect purchases at Toomey's, consider a bag of foam footballs, which are always a fun throw, at $45 for 30. Okay, that's, I guess, what it would have been this last Mardi Gras. He said, you'll pay over $100 now for that same bag of 30 footballs with the tariff. And I'm sure, obviously, you can go through beads and all. I guess moon pies aren't. Moon pies aren't coming from China, right? They're coming from Chattanooga or my thinking old school. But everything else, I think, pretty much does that gets thrown at Mardi Gras. It is. It goes on in the story to say... Toomey goes on to say, it's not just us. I know Mardi Gras is a huge part of our culture here, but if you think about all the people who won't be able to afford product, then the sales taxes are affected, the state, local, state, and federal taxes. Oh my gosh, it'd be horrible for our overall economy. He goes on to say, we have been pre-ordering. We have a container due next month around May 15th. Rather than having it delivered here, we're taking it to a warehouse and having it stored there until the tariffs come down, because we'd rather pay those fees than the tariffs right now at 145%. So I would say this. Yes, it's going to be. Oh, it did say, yeah, more moon pies. So it is still Chattanooga Bakery. So it might be just an all moon pie Mardi Gras. Or just there's products that get thrown, you know, but you might see a different Mardi Gras. What would you think if it stays in? Although I do think it's going to change. And, you know, the quiet part of the story, too, that China has capitulated some. I think we mentioned this on Wednesday's show, but China's put out quietly this list of things that they're going to reduce their tariff on American products coming in. This Bloomberg has a story. It's several places, but it says here it is. China quietly exempts about a quarter of U.S. imports from tariffs. One of the ones that stood out to me in the story too was ethane, and there'll probably be a lot of y'all that know about that. I was ignorant to that. I guess it's something that we make here in the United States that they use in plastics, which turns around, you know, think about stuff we get in for Mardi Gras. It says China's evaluating an offer from the U.S. to hold talks on tariffs, according to a statement from the Chinese Commerce Ministry. The shift in tone could leave the door open for the two largest world's largest economy to de-escalate the trade war that has left global markets in turmoil. Says, however, Beijing appears to be open to negotiations. Chinese Commerce Ministry warned that it would not be forced into making a bad deal. According to the Reuters translation, the ministry said, attempting to use the talks as a pretext to engage in coercion or extortion will not work. Okay. Everybody's got to say that stuff. Everybody's got to puff up their chest. Both sides. We do it too. Yeah, it said President Trump announced sweeping global tariffs last month. He slapped 145% tariff on Chinese imports. Meanwhile, Beijing put 125% tariff on U.S. imports. However, the country recently waived off the tariff on a host of American-made products. I said there were already some exemptions for pharmaceuticals, microchips, and aircraft engines. But then this is the ethane thing. But China added an exemption for ethane imports. Now, when I heard that story earlier this week, I was like, ethane. You know, I mean, it's the thanes. I get it. You get like methane and other. But I guess that this is crucial to a lot of the plastics construction they do. So this is one where they don't make this. They need this to make their other stuff. So they've backed off the tariffs on specific things, ethane being one of them. So I don't know if that's goes into making plastics. Does that turn around and help them with the, you know, I'm trying to combine like ethane with the Mardi Gras story, but I thought that was of interest. We'll watch that. What do you think what's going to do to Mardi Gras? If it stays there, Aiden in Citronelle says maybe they can throw Cracker Jacks again. Yeah. Cracker Jacks, moon pies. Yeah. I don't know if ramen noodles, I'm sure they're made here in the United States. I'm guessing, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it comes in as bulk ramen, and then they stamp it out in the smaller things. It'd be interesting to see. Hopefully this gets settled down and we have some fairness in the trade with China. But if it doesn't, what would Mardi Gras look like this coming Mardi Gras season? What will be thrown off the floats? Let's see. Yeah, well, this unnamed texter said, hopefully this will also mean that there will be some American companies that can jump into making Mardi Gras supplies. Yeah, I don't know. You know, what's the price point on the, I'm not sure. You know, we got plastic. I mean, what it takes to, and I keep thinking about beads, but what, I mean, I know they did the foam footballs, but what does it take to, can an American company that's making plastic, whatever, I don't know, they're going to be beads being made for something else, blowgun darts or something like that, that they can, it'll be interesting to see. B-Dark says, maybe we can really sell beads and stuff now. We ain't getting them from China. The people these days don't respect the people who built this country. Yes, this texture, things like I do. Maybe we really need to start recycling all the beads so they can still get those cheaply and not from China. Yet, did you realize that the beads that you threw away, at the end of Mardi Gras, that you could have been sitting on, something. You think recycled aluminum something. I mean, if the tariffs will take it up that high in 145% on Chinese beads, then you might be sitting on a gold mine. All right, some of these older texts here from the previous hour said this is from unnamed texter, I think. If you can, give yourself a nickname or first name or something on here. I appreciate that. Says, this texter says, sounds like Chris Pringles for increasing personal taxes on everybody except small businesses and corporations. Listen, the small businesses have taken it on the chin for a long time, texter. But please pat me on the back for the 1 cent grocery tax. And then he wants to talk about workforce participation. So then obviously you want to keep the overtime exemption. Laugh out loud. These Alabama Republicans are a joke to Republicans. So that is what's wrong with having a one-party state. We need a strong Democrat Party and a strong Republican Party. Well, isn't it the job of ADC, of the Alabama Democrats, to have a strong party? They do it to themselves. We can go back through the history of that. He goes on to say, I'm a low six-figure salary a year. I made more money this year because of the Democrat Party in Alabama than I did because of the Republican Party. Tell me why. Is that because you're overtime? Text me, let me know. Unnamed texter. And we're coming right back.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Check in with my friend Anna at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. I know we talk about gold a bunch, but let's talk some silver today. Tell me what's going on in silver at the shop.
Well, silver's down a little bit today, and we're doing some sales. We have these Do Not Tread On Me silver rounds that normally bring your higher premium when you buy them, but you can get them for just a regular silver price, just like the buffalo rounds. And basically, this features a snake, and it says, Do Not Tread On Me on one side, and on the back it says Boston Tea Party.
It's a Gadsden flag symbol, I guess, on one side, and then, okay, very good. What else in silver?
Well, we also have Canadian maple leaves on sale right now.
Boo, and, Canadian. Know,
we,
oh, gosh.
Yeah, we do.
The hockey
we're
game wasn't
nicer
good.
Than they are.
Yes. So,
yeah, we do have that for sale.
And you had mentioned to me, too, about sterling silver. And I know that there's some people that are big fans of sterling. Y'all carry sterling as well.
Yeah, sterling silver, antiques, you know, flatware, like tea sets. Think tea sets or... you know, fancy knives and different, I don't know, gadgets, I guess you'd call them, because some of these pieces, I wouldn't even know that there's such a thing as an asparagus server, but apparently there is.
And you can get it in sterling silver.
Yes. Yes, you can. Absolutely.
All right. Good stuff. They can do that. And reminder, y'all, it's Mother's Day coming up very soon, and you've got some jewelry that's perfect for mom in the store.
Oh, yeah, and we're also open this Saturday, so we'll be open tomorrow from 9 till 2 p.m., and you can come in and browse for Mother's Day or graduation gifts if you need it. You know, you can buy bullion, gold, silver coins, paper money, collectible coins, all of that will be here tomorrow.
All right, good stuff. People are going to come see you tomorrow. How do they find you?
We are 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile, just a block west of Catholic School and Church.
Good stuff. Anna, we'll talk soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye. There goes Anna at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Let's see. People tell me what they think is going to be thrown. This is good. Bologna at, bologna at Mardi Gras. If the prices stay up, 145% tariffs on the Mardi Gras throws. B-Dark goes on to say, I totally agree to recycle everything. Jim in Georgetown, what's up, Jim? Said, not worried about these coming from China. This sausage is fun to watch being made. So he's got some homemade sausage. The Kaneka sausage is pretty big prize at Mardi Gras. Let's see here. It's unnamed texter. Says, I feel disrespected every time I listen to Alabama Republicans speak and Alabama Democrats. I work around the ultra wealthy and the dirt poor. Our politicians in Alabama only give us lip service. They do not respect hardworking Americans. I mean, that's kind of a blanket statement, right? I mean, that, I think all, I mean, when somebody says all people do something, I don't know. Maybe some. All. C.B. Carl, what's up? C.B. Carl said, how many dozen Krispy Kreme donuts will you get now in the fundraiser they do for the kids that repackage them at the school? Yeah, I don't, that premium item, the people that did the donation, which is a fantastic thing to do, I think it's, is it still Mark doing it? Not Mark the person, but the association doing that? I don't know. They're sitting on a gold mine right now. Matt says, hey, Sean, back to the earlier discussion about workforce participation. You're probably aware of the old Works Progress Administration. Oh, yeah, WPA, man. It was in existence and built a lot of national park trails and other public use projects, including cleaning up our cities. If the 43% that can work and don't, subjecting to conscript work in WPA, it would be a lot different. You know, when I was talking the other day about the Pinhoti Trail and Cheehaw and all that, there was WPA projects up there. There's CCC projects up there. Through, you know, you get to the mountainous areas of Alabama. There are a lot of people out of work there. And those projects still remain, don't they? Ultra Runner said, it's false logic for that texter to keep saying that we need a strong Democrat Party to improve Alabama. We need a more informed electorate to get engaged and pick better candidates in the Republican primary. Hey, I will second and third what Ultra Runner said. But there's a, you Ultra Runner, you've probably seen it, right? Primary, it's a, if we get 14% turnout in a primary, it's big. You know, or 20% is like, oh my gosh, got 20. They don't turn out in the primary. You're quite right. Laurie says, I have a big bag of beads I was going to take to Goodwill. I think I'll hang on to them now. Yeah. Yeah, and I'm good with moon pies. All right, I want to, I said a couple of stories, and then when we come back, I want to talk about this NPR PBS thing. But I thought about this yesterday. So the China tariff thing and Mardi Gras, I've thought about it for a while. But I thought about this yesterday when my guest, Colonel Scott Bannon, Director of Marine Resources, was in. And we were talking about how, and you need to go back and listen, how, like, out of boat launches, they're not all, like, some are under Marine Resources, some are the county, some are towns, some, like how it's all done. It's patchwork. It's not just one group. But you're talking about funding coming through GOMESA, right? Something we've talked about over the years and how it's used for projects. That's the GOMESA is an acronym for the Gulf of Mexico Energy Security Act of 2006. And I thought when he said GOMESA yesterday, I started in my brain thinking, what's the new acronym going to have to be? Gulf of, is it going to be GOA, ASA? Go. If it's the Gulf of America, right? Gulf of America Energy Security Act. So the acronym would be GOAESA now. Story from Lanyap from Scott Johnson said, following the renaming of the Gulf of America, state and federal agencies have created a patchwork of language concerning oil and gas revenues authorized under the GOMESA. Since 2006, GOMESA has governed the distribution of offshore oil and gas revenues to Alabama, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Texas. The funds derived from the federal drilling leases in the Gulf support infrastructure, restoration, and environmental protection in coastal areas. Mobile and Baldwin counties, as well as the state of Alabama, receive an annual average of $49 million in funding through the program in recent years. The change in nomenclature comes from a controversial executive order by President Donald Trump. We know this part. Governor Ivey has championed the renaming. State lawmakers seem poised to codify it into state and local law at that level. It's unclear how those directives will impact GOMESA's official title references. Scott and I were thinking about the same thing. Said the shift in terminology resulted most recently in the April 30th press release by the Alabama Department of Conservation and Natural Resources, where the agency invited suggestions for funding grants to the GOMESA program, which included Gulf of Mexico in its full title, while simultaneously changing all mentions of the body of water to the Gulf of America. A guest on the show, ADCNR Commissioner Chris Blankenship, said in an email yesterday the state plans to continue referring to Gulf of Mexico in relation to the Gulf of Mexico Energy Security Act of 2006. So we don't have to change the acronym, I guess. He said we use the acronym GOMESA to describe the act and then use Gulf of America when we talk about the place where the exploration and production is occurring. The U.S. Department of Interior has done the same in press releases that have been done in the last few months. So there you go. We don't have to learn a new acronym and how to say it. Coming right back. More Bidet Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 135, FM Talk 106.5. Midday Mobile on this Friday. Glad to have you along. Say hello to my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. We were talking just a second ago about doing business on Saturdays. People want to stop by because that's sometimes the only chance they have to look at a vehicle, right? Y'all are there to greet them.
It is. And, you know, we're open from 9 to 2 on Saturdays because that gives our guys a little time off in a decent-sized weekend as well. So 9 in the morning to 2 in the afternoon, that should be plenty of time. And if we have to stay here, I mean, last Saturday we were here till 4 o'clock. But, you know, if we don't have any customers, we usually leave around 2. So we got a fantastic inventory right now, and financing's absolutely great. And we've got another lender that we're fixing to hook up with that's going to be a game-changer for us.
Oh, okay. I mean, that's one thing we've talked about in the past, that it's not like y'all just have the lender you work with. It's definitely multiple plurals of lenders.
It is. And, you know, everybody, I mean, unless you just have absolutely perfect credit, I mean, you can have really good credit, and that person still worries about, do I have good enough credit to go buy a car? Or do I have, you know, everybody's mm-hmm. scared of getting turned down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our debit card machine, when you put it on the thing to tap, it goes bang, and it scares everybody to death because it sounds like it declined it. I can't change that sound for nothing. But, you know, everybody's worried about being said no to. And we have got a source for everybody. I mean, bankruptcy. All the way to the person that's got a 850 credit score. We have got something for everybody, and the rates all reflect who you are and what you are. You know what I'm saying? But we have ways for people to reestablish credit. I mean, every sort of situation we have, and we can help.
Good stuff. Well, tell them how to find you, whether it be today or tomorrow or next week.
Today we'll be here till 6, and tomorrow, like I said, 9 to 2. You can give us a call at 251-375-0068. You can go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com. You see all the inventory there. We should have pictures of everything. You can chat back and forth with us on the website. You can fill out a credit application on the website. It is secure. Or you can come see us in person. We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. Give us a call.
Thanks, David. We'll talk soon.
All right, buddy. Have a good day.
Hey, you too. There goes David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. All right. So one of the stories that I know it's talked about earlier on Jeff's show about President Trump's executive action. So he's signed this executive action to end federal funding of PBS and NPR. It's not their only source of funding, but there's federal money that goes to the Corporation for Public Broadcasting that goes to both public television and public radio, right? And so that's what I thought was interesting, too. And the White House has said, you know, listen, that it's biased. It's conversations that's gone on a long time. And there's been politicos in the past that said they would do away with funding, federal funding for these NPR and PBS. And they haven't. Trump has here. It's executive order, so it could turn around with somebody doing the White House. But what I thought was good about the Trump administration, so they put out emails, y'all can get them. They come straight from, you know, it's the Communications Department, Office of Communications at the White House. All presidents have this. But they didn't just put one out that said, they put some out earlier that said, hey, they're to back off of, to do away with federal funding for NPR and PBS. But then they sent this one out this morning. And we'll read through some of this. Said, last night, President Donald J. Trump signed an executive order ending the taxpayer subsidization, it's always killed me, 52 years old, that word, of National Public Radio and Public Broadcasting System, entities that receive tens of millions of dollars in taxpayer funds each year to spread radical woke propaganda disguised as news. Okay, so that usually that's, you know, you hear that kind of, oh, it's radical, this and that. But what I like here is they've listed examples. And I think this is worth, and you can go and get this email from the Office of Communications at the White House and click the links to look through. But I'm going to read you some of the highlights or lowlights on this. And good for the administration putting this out. Said some examples of what's gone on, what they call trash at NPR and PBS. Number one caught my attention. A NPR, so National Public Radio, ran a story titled Cannibalism, It's Perfectly Natural, in which the author described eating another human's placenta. And a quote they took out of it, it said, "It was really the prep that made it taste so good. Granted, the husband was the chef, so he knew how to prepare it, Osso Buco style, Osso Buco style, and used a really nice wine I had brought. It smelled great, and it didn't taste bad." So that was one of their stories. This one that really got me, and I remember when this change happened, and it bothered me. It's something that, like I said, Jeff said it today. I mean, there are things on NPR over the years that I've enjoyed. It's not like I disliked everything. I dislike the fact that I've made my whole career in commercial radio having to compete against my tax dollars or somebody's tax dollars going to fund my competition. Even when my eldest, when she found out about that, and she was probably 10 or 11 years old, she said, what are you talking about? I said, no, baby, these stations are funded with taxpayer dollars, partially. She's like, well, that's not right. Why do you have to compete against them? I said, well, it's the way it is. But one of the things I used to love, and I don't know if y'all remember this, when they used to read the Declaration of Independence on Independence Day on National Public Radio, it was a beautiful thing. And they point out here, in 2021, NPR declared the Declaration of Independence to be a document with flaws and deeply ingrained hypocrisies. Then in 2022, NPR scrapped its decades-long Independence Day tradition of reading the Declaration of Independence on air to instead discuss equality. NPR, this is when I didn't realize this. I remember when they stopped reading it. But NPR subsequently issued an editor's note, warning, the Declaration of Independence is a document that contains offensive language. Goes on to say, NPR featured a Valentine's Day story centered around queer animals, in which it suggested the make-believe clownfish in Finding Nemo, remember that clownfish, would have been better off as a female, and that banana slugs are hermaphrodites, and that some deer are non-binary. That was their Valentine's Day story. PBS devoted a panel to what it means to be woke and to white privilege. I don't mind if you have a panel with people that disagree. You know, you can put that up. Let's see. NPR routinely promotes the chemical and surgical mutilation of children as so-called gender-affirming care without mentioning the irreversible damage caused by these procedures. Goes on and says, in 2021, a PBS station aired a children's program that featured a drag queen named Little Miss Hot Mess, end quote. Dalton knows this was my favorite of the list this morning. I can't believe I have to go back and get the audio of this. NPR educated the nation on the, quote, whole community of genderqueer dinosaur enthusiast. And, I guess a new character, Transceratops, end quote. I didn't know there was a community. I guess you learned something. A gender queer dinosaur enthusiast community out there. Okay, and also said NPR reported. Where is it? Here's the there it is. NPR suggested in a story, and you can click through these stories, and I did, suggested that the sizes of doorways. Y'all guessing what's about to come next? Doorway sizes in the United States were based on latent fat phobia. That there was something that when you decided what the sizes of doors were, you were, you didn't want any fat people coming in, which is the majority of Americans now. What are you talking about? So they are the doorway size. I'd never seen a doorway that wasn't big enough for the biggest person to get through. But they say that there's a latent fat phobia that had guided the sizes of doorways in the United States. NPR absurdly claimed limited scientific evidence of physical advantage existing between male and female athletes. NPR lamented that animals deserve pronouns too. Well, there's something I can get on board. It said NPR ran a feature titled What Queer Ducks Can Teach Teenagers About Sexuality in the Animal Kingdom. NPR dedicated an entire segment to a population of anthropomorphic animal enthusiasts known as furries. Well, I've probably done that before myself. Not been a furry, but talked about them. This is just a... NPR explored the racial origins of fat phobia. This is just a little bit of what they put out in this list. So they backed up their move here. We might read some more of this and get your comments when we come back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Tell them, James. All right, 150 FM Talk, 106.5 Midday Mobile. It heads up, too, going on tomorrow from 4 to 8 in the evening, 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Braided River. Tasty beers as well. Street Carnival benefiting Dwell Mobile is going on. And I have somehow been roped into the dunk tank. So those texters today that were just so very angry at me, a great chance to benefit a charity and dunk me. I think my shift starts around 6 tomorrow evening. There'll be carnival games, face painting, raffle prizes, plant sale going on, bands, food trucks, and also the dunk tank, which my shift starts at 6. So just been waiting to dunk me, show me what's up. It's your chance tomorrow. All right, go to the Mallory Piping text line here, and then we'll read a few more from this email put out from the White House. Sorry, Mrs. Swin. Earlier, B-Dark said the only reason he changed the name to the Gulf is because we couldn't drill in the Gulf of Mexico, but we can in the Gulf of America. Yeah, I think boys were talking about that this morning, B-Dark. This texter says, it sounds like public radio is just Comedy Central. Matt said, I'll put you down as undecided. Matt says, cut the NPR funding and burn down the building. I think there's value, but it definitely has such a lean on it. Let's see. Joshua said, I'm grateful that I stopped listening to NPR. Those topics you mentioned were all ridiculous. This texture says, animal pronouns are easy. It. There as well. C.B. Carl said, I used to listen to All Things Considered, a.k.a. All Idiocies Considered, as Oppo Research, but since Trump, it's gone to just plain stupid. I've said that forever, right, on the show. Listen to things that aren't echo chambers, that don't, that's steel sharpened steel, right? I mean, go listen, absolutely, to other opinions. It's just the fact that they're all one way. All right, this from unnamed texter. Said, here's an example. If someone only watches Fox News, you only know what the Republicans are saying and their point of view. If somebody's only watching CNN or MSNBC, you only know what the Democrats are saying and their point of view. There's plenty of conservative radio. Let public radio stay liberal. Okay. Where do I even start? Hold on. Take a sip of this delicious Coke Zero. So public radio is that. It's public. There's a taxpayer-funded element to it, right? It's a meritocracy that's let what you call conservative radio, which I told you that this station has a lot of conservative talkers on it, but has people with all kinds of opinions, different subjects and different things. But we have to compete against something that comes from our tax dollars to fund. Like I said, I'm not 100% against everything, because I think, listen, this stuff on PBS, I love documentaries, I love Science and Nature, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, there's other places you can get it, but those things were important to me. But the news programming or the opinion programming there that is absolutely over the top to the left, not like debate shows. And once again, I like hearing different opinions, but it's not that. It's absolutely from the left. He said, let public radio stay liberal. No, it's public radio. Liberal radio was tried, remember? Remember they tried that in the commercial radio world? Air America? How long did that last? Because the people, I guess, that show up to vote for liberals and Democrats don't consume a lot of spoken word product. You don't have to have the number of people when you have subsidies coming from the taxpayers. Now, are those stations Do they get money from the people donating? Absolutely. I do think that they're going to really have to ramp up. Drive time is going to be something. Imagine how many coffee mugs and tote bags you're going to have to give away now to get money. But it's, if people want to support it, I'm just fine with there being a liberal opinion out there. Just don't have taxpayer dollars going to it. You could keep the the news product as left as Che Guevara would want it, but don't have taxpayer dollars funding it. What we do here with conservative radio, if you think this, but is not taxpayer funded. Josh says, I do miss Prairie Home Companion. I do too. Remember what happened to Garrison Keillor? Remember Me Too went for Garrison Blanken Keillor? Did you ever go back and look at that story, what they said he did? It was ridiculous. Garrison Keillor, a very talented broadcaster. And they ran him out on a rail. Go back and look at the story from the Me Too. The Me Too thing got some real dirtbags, you know, their day of reckoning. And it also swept up people like Garrison Keillor. So, yeah, I was a Prairie Home Companion fan myself, Josh. I thought that was a well-done radio show. Mike. Oh, this is Mike from the Nappy nominated. And you can vote coming up, I think, next week. They open up Nappy voting. This is Sip from Sip and Chew. Said, these folks sound like quacks to me. Do you ask the duck their pronouns? And then, I guess from the conversation last hour, taxpayers in Alabama are subsidizing liquor stores to compete against privately owned liquor stores. Just had that conversation last hour with Speaker Pro Tem Congressman Chris Pringle. He seems to, you know, he's talking about the things that are good about it. I'm one to say, even if there are things good about it, I don't think government should be in the business of doing things like selling booze. I think it should be, and I'm also the person that, when we talked about the gambling thing, and everybody's like, the state needs a lottery. No, I think the state should open people, if they vote, you know, have a referendum, constitutional amendment, and allow that. They should put the parameters on it, and then let private capital run their own lotteries. Why does it have to be the job of government? I mean, they shouldn't get into things that should be in the private sector. So, Mike, I 100% agree with you. Maybe you can bring some of that discussion up on the show on Sunday. CB Carl said, y'all ain't conservative radio, you're open mic radio. That's for sure. And that's very nice. Somebody wishing us a belated anniversary. That's good. Good deal. It was, yesterday, turned 16 with the radio station. 16. A little more from that list here. And like I said, if you go, and it's probably posted up somewhere, but I got it in the email from the Office of Communications from the White House. I got the same thing no matter who's in the White House. I get the same email because I'm, you know, I need to know this stuff. But not only did President Trump say we're going to cut the federal funding for NPR and PBS, good for them to put this email out showing examples, because there's a lot of people that be like, why'd they do that? What are they talking about? And to have them delineate this and put this together, it's and it goes on to say NPR and PBS have zero tolerance for non-leftist viewpoints. It says in 2020, NPR refused to cover the explosive Hunter Biden laptop scandal in the run-up to the election, baselessly claiming the assertions don't amount to much. Also, what a 25-year veteran NPR reporter, remember that story? An editor spoke out about the network's obsession with liberal causes. They suspended him. And goes on to talk about NPR CEO Catherine Mayer, who had called President Trump a racist and shared a photo of herself wearing a Biden for President campaign hat. But there's a lot to this. And if you get a chance to see that email, go check it out. Paul Feinbaum on the way next. I'll talk to y'all tomorrow morning at 7 for FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors.